Well, good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. Had a little bit of a scare when I first walked in. I heard Steve Kuhn was looking for me and came up to me, and he had one of the announcements, the bulletins, and said split sermon. I was like, whoa, wasn't ready for that. Then he just heard me, it was just a sermonette, but then, so it might be a split sermonette, who knows at this point, but anyways, it was fun. Well, today I'd like to talk about something that you probably all come in contact with every day but don't really think about in a biblical or Christian context. Something that you probably have in every single one of your houses. You'll probably find it in your kitchen. If it's not in your kitchen, it's probably sitting on your dining room table. What I'd like to talk about today is salt. It's salt. There are many examples of salt in the Bible. I guess I could say I could assault you with all of these examples, but I had to go there, I'm sorry. But I also know a little salt goes a long way, so we're just going to focus just on one example here. And we're going to look at how salt is used, why it's used, and what it means for us today and how we should be living our lives. The example I'd like to focus on is found in Matthew 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. Let's please turn there. Now, as we're turning here, this is actually one of the longest discourses by Christ, so it's really important to focus on his words and for us to know what he's saying here. So Matthew 5:13, this is something that Christ is saying. He's saying, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Wow. There's a lot going on in this scripture. First, it says that we are to be the salt of the earth. We're going to explore, see what this means. Next, it says, talks about the salt losing its flavor. How is this possible? So we're going to take a quick look at that as well. And the last thing it mentions here is seasoning, which we're also going to look at. Now, we need to understand these things, because if we don't, we can read what will happen. It says that we will be good for nothing, and not only thrown out, but trampled underfoot by men. I mean, this is pretty serious. I'm pretty sure none of us here want that. I mean, I know I definitely don't want to be thrown out and get trampled by a bunch of guys, but that's what it says here. So let's take heed to ourselves and let's look at this example and see what we can learn if we look at it. So the first part of the scripture here says, "You are the salt of the earth." The salt of the earth. Why did he use salt? Why not something else? I mean, I really like steak. Why not steak? Steak of the earth, you know, big old fillet, that'd be delicious. But no, he didn't. He said salt. He said salt for good reason. You see, steak, although it's good, it can spoil. It can go bad. And one of the ways to keep it from going bad was by using a preservative. One of the most common ones back then was salt. So you see, salt is a preservative. Something that is added to food to prevent spoilage or decay. You know, it's supposed to fight off the bacteria, the organisms that are trying to eat away at it. So if we follow this metaphor, then we are to be a preservative as well. We are to be preservatives of the world. There's a lot of things out there that are bad, is there? I mean, things that are going corrupt, things that are declining, decaying. We look all around us, I think we can see that we live in a decaying world. So let's look somewhere else and see if we can find something that talks a bit more about us being a preservative. If you flip over to Matthew 24, go to verse 22, Matthew 24. Verse 22, it says, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." I think that's kind of interesting in this context of being the salt of the earth. It's basically saying, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. It'd be going bad. It'd be rotting. It'd be dying, decaying. But for the elect's sake, those who are the salt of the earth, the preserving agents, it's because of them that these days will be shortened. This is quite the responsibility that we have. We need to be different. We need to be set apart. We need to be the ones that are good, standing up for the things that are right, the good examples that everyone can look to. We need to be preserving those things which are good. Now, if we go back to Matthew 5 and verse 13, we'll see the next part here. It says, but if the salt loses its flavor, it's kind of a curious statement to me. The salt loses its flavor. How does salt lose its flavor? Flavor is what makes salt salt and not sugar or something else. It's core distinctive quality or taste. I was curious about this, so I looked up the Tyndale New Bible Dictionary and looked to see what it had to say about salt losing its flavor. And it had an interesting thing here. It said, the Phoenicians obtained quantities of salt from the Mediterranean by the evaporation of salt pans. The Hebrews had access to unlimited supply on the shores of the Dead Sea and the Hill of Salt. Such salt was of the rock or fossil variety, and because of the impurities and the occurrence of chemical changes, the outer layer was generally lacking in flavor. The outer layer. It's kind of intriguing. The outer layer, the salt that lacks the flavor is on the outer layer, the salt that's closest to the rest of the world, the salt that's furthest from the core of the salt pile. That's the salt that loses its flavor. I think there's an interesting parallel here that we need to make sure that we are spiritually strong, that we're close to the trunk of the tree, that we're holding on tightly and not drifting away. Flavor is a distinctive quality or taste. It makes salt salt and not something else. For us, it's what makes us Christian, what makes us part of God's church. It's what defines us as his people. It's our core values, our qualities. It's the word, his Bible. And we have to be close to it. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Go to first chapter 2. Second Timothy 2. We'll look in verse 15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in verse 16, it adds, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. If we are studying and are a good workman, we'll be strong. We'll be close to God and his truth. We'll be able to discern the right and the wrong. We won't be caught on the outskirts of the salt pile, where we're more likely to lose that flavor and where it's easy to be increased unto more ungodliness. Another place we could turn would be to James 4, verse 4 and 5, which says, you know, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. It's that same sort of principle. We need to be drawing close to him. And this is how we don't lose our flavor. We do that through constant contact with God and the support of each other, through prayer, meditation, conversations with one another, and in our conduct. If we are doing these things, we will be full of flavor. Not only that, but I think we will also be good preservatives as well. If we go back to Matthew 5:13, where we started, it says, how shall it be seasoned? It's the next thing. So it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? So let's talk about seasoning. Now, salt has two main purposes, I'd say. The first, we talked about, the preserving. The second is to be a seasoning. So this is also part of what we are supposed to do as being salt of the earth. So what exactly does it mean to season? It means to enhance what is already there. It basically means to bring out the best in something. And that is what we are to do. We are to bring out the best in those people around us. Just a little bit, just like a little bit of salt, just a little bit of seasoning. I mean, when I cook, I'm making a sauce or something, I like to sample it. Does anybody else like to do that? Am I alone? Yes, I'm alone. I'm the only one that's, okay, Mrs. Luger likes to sample too. All right, I like to taste it sometimes, and I taste it, and if it's not quite right, what do? Take a little bit of spice, a little bit of salt, and you add it in there, just a little bit. Taste it again, and it's perfect, it tastes great. It's just a little bit, though, and that's the way we are, too. Our seasoning, that's the way it should be. Our seasoning, our bringing out the best in others, it's not because of us. It is because of God. If we are that pure salt, that salt in the middle of the salt pile, we'll be reflecting God's way. We'll be bringing in that small living example of God's way to the others around us. We'll be enhancing their lives. We'll be making them better a little bit at a time. Now, if you drop down to verse 16 of Matthew 5, you'll see what will happen then. It says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So if we are seasoning properly, people will know that it comes from God and that they will then glorify our Father in heaven. So brethren, we are called to be the salt of the earth. This is a huge responsibility. We need to be those who can preserve, who are strong examples. We need to have that close contact with God, with his word, with his people. And if we can do this, we'll be filled with his word, his strength, and his flavor. If we are able to do that, then we'll be able to go out and properly season the world. And then by doing that, we'll see, bring a good example to those and let know that God is working through us and bring joy to their lives. If we can do all of these things, then we truly will be the salt of the earth.